Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Answer that question. I think the biggest reason why they have to go with Van Buren is they're so bad up front. Van Buren can at least extend plays.
So my stock down has nothing to do with games played over the weekend, and I already can't stand this dude. He's like top three most despised coaches for me. Did you see what the Nard dope Pat Narduzzi said?
Oh, sorry, tell your story.
I mean, unbelievable. This dude. This is who he is. Way to rile up the troops there, coach, with College game day coming to town. I don't care. We can lose by 100. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I mean, he's not wrong. But also, you know, beating a top 10 Notre Dame team probably is good for the program.
Certainly. But I mean, like, you know, this is kind of where we're in this weird spot where, I don't know, man. Like, if you're Ohio State and you're Indiana and you're like, are you going to have like a... I think they're going to play hard because, you know, everybody wants...
Cincinnati will play hard.
Yeah, they want to win a championship, but it's like, I don't...
I agree, man. Like, the fact that the buys are not on the table anymore, and I agree with it, I don't think buys should
I think we should seed it 1 through 12.
But we talked about this over the summer when this news came out. This is making, not all, but a lot of these conference championships meaningless. Like, the eight, you could make an argument, as crazy as this sounds, we could get number one Ohio State versus number two Indiana, number three A&M versus number four Alabama, and the more important game is the ACC championship.
Yep.
Like, that's crazy, but it's true.
What we got right, basically, Iowa and Temple, that was it for me. What I got wrong, everything else. Just literally everything else. I hit a 4-team money line parlay. Or a 5-team.
There you go.
Yeah.
I did do, I think you would be proud of the decision that I made. So, first quarter, Notre Dame is tied with Navy 7-7.
Did you hammer it live?
I hit Navy plus 21.5 to put the reverse mojo out there.
Mm.
I sacrificed my money so that Notre Dame would.
But that's
a move that
you can only do when you're up.
It's true. It's true.
You know what I mean? I was
late. We were having a good day.
It was so annoying because also, at my core, it's like I'm good at knowing this team's that much better. Like, the line came out like Notre Dame 26.5. It's like you've taken away one of my favorite bets of just betting Notre Dame against Navy. Like, you've taken that away from me. And then I left Clemson on the table. It's like Clemson was always going to play harder than Florida State that game. Like, it was such a frustrating weekend. It was just one of those weekends where, like I said, when you go against like everything in your core, and it just ends up that way. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. Nico Harrison has finally been fired. We'll talk about that and more from the world of sports. We'll also take a look at the early lines from this week. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Shout out Godzilla 2000. Pretty sure this was the song in the credits. One of the worst movies that I think my dad ever had to take me to. Want to also remind you, going on right now over at our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers, it is the famous Give Gifts and Get Gifts event. Now through Saturday, if you spend $1,999 or more at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can receive a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler. You can also take an additional, or I should say, or you could take an additional 10% off any already on sale diamond pendants and necklaces. If you're thinking about just getting something special, this is where I got my engagement ring. So if you're thinking about getting engaged, during this holiday season. I cannot recommend the process at Robert Irwin Jewelers enough. I knew absolutely nothing about the diamond business going into this. We came out with a ring that my wife absolutely loves, and most importantly, came out under budget, so you can do all the same. Just go see our friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. You can even shop online, rijewelers.com. Also, three locations, the Bartlett Town Center in Bartlett near the Kroger, also South Haven at the corner of Airways and Goodman Road, as well as, of course, the Diamond Showroom right there on South Perkins across from Laurelwood. Let's get into the list. Nico Harrison. All right, Tim, according to Tim McMahon and Sham Sharania of ESPN, the Dallas Mavericks fired general manager Nico Harrison. The decision was announced on Tuesday after a meeting between Harrison and team governor. I love how we're still doing that. Patrick Dumont, sources told ESPN. Quote, this decision reflects our continued commitment to building a championship caliber organization, one that delivers for our players, our partners, and most importantly, our fans. Assistant general managers Michael Finley and Matt Riccardi have been promoted to the lead Mavs basketball operations department on an interim basis. Okay, so I think the first things first, do we think this move will lead to any clarification on why Luka was indeed traded?
So I listened to Shams earlier today. I don't know what forum it was on, one of the ESPN shows. And he said that it was all Nico's decision, and that after they made the run to the NBA Finals, Dumont was just all in on Nico. Like, he could do no wrong. He was a basketball savant. So Harrison was able to essentially convince him off of the good graces of that run. And yeah, I think that's where we stand. It's pretty interesting. I mean, it seemed to me, and maybe I could be wrong, when the ping pong balls, or however you want to define it nowadays, for the lottery fell their way.
Yep.
It seemed like, all right, well, we'll give this guy another crack. And now they're off to a horrific start. And Luka Doncic, oh, by the way, what is he averaging, like 39 points a game for the Lakers?
Yeah, I kind of wondered about the Luka of it. If they aren't having, like, let's say they had this start, but let's say Luka's been kind of up and down, like, even though he's been battling injury, like, I wonder how much of it is just, like, Luka looks like right now he's playing the best basketball of anybody.
Well, because when he went to the Lakers last year, it was kind of a up and down, right?
Yeah, I remember he'd missed a lot of time. You know, that was when we first started getting the reports about Luka can't stay in shape, he can't stop drinking beer and eating barbecue. Like, there was a lot of that, which I wonder where that was coming from.
And he also still averaged 28, 8, and 7.
Yeah.
For the Lakers last year. But right now, with LeBron sidelined, he's averaging 37, 9, and 9.
I mean, we saw him here 2 weeks ago, and there was nothing that could be done.
And if you're the Dallas Mavericks, and I get it, you got Cooper Flagg, and somehow, some way, you got, you know, the conspiracy theorists will say that the NBA convinced the Lakers or the Mavericks to do this trade so that the Lakers will have a star when LeBron retires, and then we'll give you Cooper Flagg, whatever. I mean, that fan base has to be completely checked out. And now, does this help get them back? Because if you're a part of that fan base, you're looking at a 26-year-old guy that is, I don't know if he's the best player in the league. You know, Shea's still in the league. Obviously, Jokic is still in the league. Giannis is still in the league. The dude's a top five player in the league, and you traded away him in his prime, and he's absolutely crushing it right now.
Yeah.
And there's no way you're ever getting him back.
I think the other aspect of this is when you consider how hard it is to, like, build a fan base in, like, a major metro area when you're one of the younger teams, the younger franchises. Like, there was a legitimate argument to be made outside of the Cowboys that that team was the most meaningful team in Dallas. And now it just feels like everyone is just like, F this team. And to me, it also begs the question now. It's like, don't you have to blow this up? Like, I'm normally the guy that's kind of like, I think we jumped the gun on you should blow this up way too soon, because I think there's value in actually being good, because you never know like when things will break your way. Like, imagine if Indiana started last year thinking like, well, we're not going to contend, so let's just go ahead and like start trading off because we don't have a championship contender. It's like, you never know. And
what can you get for AD right now?
I don't know, because that's the other issue. He's not playing.
Right.
I mean,
which is just, once again, the hilarity
of
this trade.
Yeah,
it's like the dude put his eggs in the basket of the star in the league that has always hurt.
And then
less than a year removed of one player dragging your franchise to the NBA Finals, you ship him off for the oft-injured Anthony Davis and one first-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Cooper Flagg. So to your point, when
you get your pick this year.
What future picks do they not have? Because they're trying to recoup from
Kyrie, right?
Is it Kyrie?
Yeah.
They traded two firsts for him?
That sounds right. Did they have to give up something for PJ Washington?
I don't know off the top of my head.
All right, but
do you look at, like, and I get it, like,
they owned their own. So this year, they do not have a pick next year, but they have their own pick this year. I'm also now seeing whispers that this might be a signal that Cuban is back involved. Which that is also one of the, that's another one of the ones where I don't feel like that got enough attention. Mr. NBA cheerleader all of a sudden sells his team.
But like didn't fully sell it?
Well,
he was like kind of involved, wasn't he?
No, so that was the thing. It was reported as such. But what actually happened was when they tried to get that deal through, Silver's like, no, if you're selling your team, you're selling the team. You do not get control of the team. I don't know. I mean, this just feels like, I mean, I think this is the other question. What are the odds that Cooper Flagg is anywhere near as significant of a player as Luka Doncic?
I mean, not high.
Luka, I mean, right? Like, he can be a very, very good player.
Yeah, Luka. I mean, look, I think Cooper Flagg's going to be great. It was like, so I remember, when did Zion get drafted?
So that would be the 2019 draft, right?
Okay.
It's Jaws draft.
I was doing a radio show, I think it was in D.C. at the time, and I said, who says no? The Pelicans trade the number one pick for LeBron, and everyone said, oh, the Pelicans say no. And I'm like, you do realize that LeBron is going to be the best player in the league for at least like three more years. And Zion has been, like, I'm not saying that Cooper's going to be Zion, but Luka Doncic is a 26-year-old player who's a top five player in the league. Like, Cooper Flagg, I think, is going to be a multi-time all-star. But is he going to be as good as Luka Doncic? I don't think so. That's hard. That's a lot of pressure and expectation to say that guy is going to be as good as Luka Doncic. He could be great and still not be as good as Luka.
Yeah, and like that's the other thing. It's like, are we just going to be resigned to the fact, like, in the end it was somebody making a really dumb decision because he didn't like a particular player that was his best player?
Yes.
Like, is that... That's the story.
I think he thought he was so smart that we could get rid of this elite offensive force and bring in a defensive player like AD, and Kyrie would be able to pick up Luka's slack enough. And obviously that was a massive miscalculation.
I guess my thing is, okay, I can get on board with the you've got to be able to stop somebody. Okay, even though I would sit there and go, well, you don't have to stop as many people if you're putting up 45 in a playoff game. But I'll meet you halfway. Why is your answer the guy that literally is never healthy? a big that is now on the wrong side of 30 that is never healthy? Like, how can that be your answer?
I mean, that's why I think so many of us said, what is this trade? You know, this is such a disastrous trade. And almost immediately, AD got hurt down in Dallas. You know, the question, too, which is interesting, and to be honest, I think you're more in on the NBA than I am right now.
We've had our own drama here.
You're right. Look, I am a big LeBron guy. I just love his play. I love him playing basketball. I think it's awesome. This Lakers team is playing pretty darn good right now, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
He's a ball dominant guy. He's also 40. He's the greatest 40-year-old ever by a long stretch. But like, what does this team look like? Because LeBron is not going to be a second fiddle guy. He could say that, but he isn't. And I'm just curious how this is going to play out when he ultimately returns, because I'm not saying he's going to make them worse. He's not, because he's LeBron James and he could put up 25-8-8 in his sleep. But I'm very curious to see, because there seems to be some pretty good mojo going with this team right now.
I guess the only thing I would say is he's not going to make them worse, simply because if you look at who they're having to play now, like the end of their bench is so bad.
So bad.
Like it allows for that. I do get what you're saying. The only reason why I'm open to the idea, the offense wasn't the problem in the, like when we first saw LeBron and Luka together, like offensively it kind of worked okay. I think it also might allow LeBron to throttle back.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like save some in the tank.
Which he is, I'll say this about him. He's unbelievable. I think Russillo's done some, you know, breakdowns on it before in the past of knowing when to throttle up and just how somehow he could just take off plays and still be moderately okay.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating skill set that he's had over his career.
And I think that's like, to me, like that's kind of a learned behavior. I think that's just like having played so many games and kind of just understanding this is one of those moments where like knowing when you have to push the pedal. Because I don't even think it's like the cynical thing like, oh, they don't even play to the last 2 minutes. I don't think it's that. I think it's having such an unbelievable feel for the game of knowing that, all right, not everybody can bust at every single possession for 48 minutes. I don't know, man. Like that is such a, like that is just like the Harvard business like study of how to kill a fan base.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm a big proponent of, you know, the team that you cheer for is your team, and I always have never been of the belief that you kind of, I'm out if they don't do this. If I were a Dallas Mavericks fan, I don't know how I could continue to be. Like, you traded away the franchise.
And for what?
And they had...
Because of one guy's ego?
I mean, you went from essentially Dirk Nowitzki to Luka Doncic. I mean, that is as amazing of a run as possible. It's like going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position.
Speaking of Monday Night Football. Okay, so I don't know if you've seen a notes package. I had a buddy text me this, and I couldn't figure out the answer. Have we ever had an NFL week bookended with 10-7 finals? So on Thursday Night Football, we had the 10-7 disgusting Denver Raiders game. And last night, we had the disgusting 10-7 Packers-Eagles game. I mean, you could maybe talk me into long enough ago to, like, you know, when scoring was just at such a premium. Maybe that has to be the first time in a very, very long time that we've had bookends start the week with a 10-7 game, end the week with the 10-7
game. What's more rare, that or a team winning back-to-back 25-24 games? Because that's what the Bears did earlier this year, beating the Raiders and then the Commanders by that score. Yeah, what'd you make of that game last night? Because, so I do a show in Milwaukee every morning, and they're just, they're down in the dumps, right? Like, they're frustrated with Jordan Love. They're frustrated with LaFleur. I get it.
I'm hopeful that they can be frustrated enough that they do something dumb and fire LaFleur and the Giants can hire him. But that would also imply that the Giants would do such a thing, which they probably wouldn't. So
the defense for Green Bay is pretty nasty, man. Like, they had back-to-back bad plays. The screen pass to Saquon where he gets out in space. It's like, good luck, dude. He throws that spin move on you, hits the circle button, and you're like,
I don't even know if it was a screen pass. I think it was just a check down, and it just happened to be that, like, he had a blocker.
Right, and he had one guy to beat, and Saquon's going to make that guy miss 100% of the time. And then he throws the dime to Devontae. Other than that, they don't really do anything. They only, I think, had one push in the whole game.
Their best drive was that long drive that got down to the 10 or the 12, and Hurts fumbled. You know, Hurts was sliding down to the ground.
And he got peanut punched
out. Yeah, as he was going down. This is kind of my working theory that I think we love to believe there's no such thing as, like, load management in the NFL and whatnot, but it is impossible to have your team fully bought in, fully healthy, all out, when you play 17 games in 18 weeks. And I think we're just at that part of the calendar where you're going to start to see teams that you think are good that are going to look poor. And then when you get a situation like last night, which was neither team could block the other, because to me it's like, if you really want to talk about what was disappointing from the Packers' perspective, is everyone thought that that offensive line was going to be improved, and they were getting beat pretty much the whole night. And then on the Philly side, it's like, okay, you're dealing with, they've had injuries up front on the offensive line. Lane Johnson was in and out last night. I think he might have finished the night out. I know he came back, but I don't recall if he, I know he came back, but I think he might have went out again. And then the Packers had a lineman go off on a cart.
Yeah, Jenkins, by the way, he's got a fractured, I think, ankle.
Yeah, it just felt like it was like a nasty, cold weather, windy night, and nobody could block one another, and it's just like the game was gross.
I can't decide what to do with the Packers, because look, the Eagles are winning the division. That's a certainty at this point, right?
Is there even a threat? I mean, I guess.
No, there's not. The Cowboys are 3-5-1.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they're winning the
Commanders
division.
Commanders are a disaster. Giants are a disaster. Like, there's a world where the Packers don't make the playoffs. Like, a pretty legit world. So, I think they have a top 5 or top 10 most difficult schedule remaining. They play the Giants on the road on Sunday. I think they're like a touchdown favorite. Vikings, Thanksgiving against the Lions and Bears. Like, after the Giants game, and look, at this point, can you assume the Packers are going to win a game they're supposed to? This is the same team that lost to the Panthers at home as a 2-touchdown favorite and lost to the Browns.
I don't think so. Like if we look at those two games, which are bad losses, I'm not trying to shy away from them.
The Browns one's a little bit more acceptable. That defense was nasty to start the year.
And it was a fluky, like, they were up 10-0 the entire game, and then like the last 5 minutes, basically the Browns put one drive together, one turnover, and then it flipped. The difference with the Panthers game, the Panthers were able to run an offense that could hold the ball. I do not know how the Giants are actually going to be able to, like, hold the football. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, can you really play Jackson Dart this week after you took him out for a concussion?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if Russell Wilson is the starter, by the way, if who's the interim?
Kafka.
Does he like Jameis more than Daboll did? Why is Jameis not the starter if Dart can't play? At least he'd be fun.
I have no idea. Like,
there's no upside to Russell Wilson playing if, like, Dart is hurt.
In the end, like, do I think Dable's a good coach? Yes.
I do.
But when they also made the decision in a make or break year, we are turning the keys over to Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. That is a fireable offense. Like, that was your answer?
And Now, you know more about the Giants than I do. Did Shane give him, Daboll, the green light on who to get at the quarterback position?
So they struck out. Rodgers was not going there.
Right. Which
they were not going to trade for Cousins' contract.
Both actually look decently smart at this point.
I'm trying to remember who the other options were.
Daniel Jones wasn't obviously
Daniel Jones wasn't an answer. They were not going to beat. Darnold was either going to Seattle or Vegas, and then when Geno, like that,
Geno stinks too. Like there was no good option. Jackson Dart, I think they probably should have started earlier, but they started him pretty quickly. I don't know. I think the Daboll thing is pretty interesting to me. Does he go right to another head coaching job? Does he have a year of OC? Like, he's going to be.
George has an update. George?
LSU?
You're on the right track. No. There were early pictures that got posted. I think they were like the New York Post or something like that, of Daboll out there today in a Penn State hoodie.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Here would be the negative I would say about Daboll. There was always chaos on the coaching staff. It was a revolving door for the defensive coordinator. He has always had the reputation of not being easy to work for. And it's one thing if you're Nick Saban and you're not easy to work for. It's another thing if you're 20-41 and not easy to work for.
How many DCs did they go through? Because I know Wink was there for a year or two. Was there someone in between Wink and Bowen?
Yes. I think they've had a different defensive coordinator every year.
Jesus.
You know, there was always like Kafka's going to call plays, but I'm taking play calling back, or who's actually calling play. Like, there was a lot of dysfunction. I think, though, this is what I was telling George. What's depressing is we've now done the thing where it's like, fundamentally, I've always believed you're better off finding the offensive-minded guy that's going to run his own offense, make him the head coach, because there always seems to be more of a hesitancy to hire defensive head coaches. And so you have a better chance of holding on to a defensive coordinator, whereas if you get the stud OC, like he's gone, he's getting a head job like right off the bat.
Let me ask you this, as a Giants fan, how does Shane still have a job?
I mean, I think it's as simple as you, like, think about it in these terms, like the
GM. Is he getting credit for the Abdul Carter?
No, I just think
Jackson,
it's
Jackson Dart, Cam Scadaboo Hall.
I think it's as simple as the Maras and the Tishes are sick of like the revolving door and like that not working, and the GM sits in the booth in the suite. And so like he can kind of, you know, ass kiss a little more. Because essentially what happened is like they came in together. Like they apparently live in the same neighborhood. Like they were a package deal. And in the end, Shane was like, the answer is, look, we've got these good players. Let me keep building the roster, but he hasn't done a good job with them. And then kind of one of the other things that was getting thrown around is Daboll was calling too many designed runs for Jackson Dart. Although I think George would back me up on this. I've watched this kid play for 4 years now. Nothing looked any different.
No, it was about right. And for all the talk that Dart is a good runner, sure, he's athletic and can use his legs with the ball. He's not a smart runner.
He's never been.
By any means.
Like I made the joke, I'm now just what every Ole Miss fan was for the last 3 years, where when I'm watching the Giants play, I'm just yelling, get out! Like, that's it. Like, just, what are you doing?
Also, in that defensive coordinator mix, the big one we forgot, Patrick Graham, who was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
He's a good coordinator.
I don't know. Then I have other, I've always thought about, like, why are we not trying to do more of the culture thing? Like, I'm not trying to act like you can just go find Dan Campbell, because I think it's actually kind of insulting to Dan Campbell to act like that there's nothing more to him other than just being like a meathead pump-up speech guy, because I think it goes way deeper than that.
Oh, it definitely does.
But he don't play this week.
And I think he's proven that this year.
But at the same time, like, the Jets are trying it, and at least at this point, it looks like the Jets are going to go through with it. And that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to do it, go through with it. Like, yeah, it's going to suck for a little bit, but... like, the building of the culture, like, I'm surprised with when everyone is just trying to copy a formula, why has really no one really tried it yet? Because wouldn't you also agree with this? What the Lions have done feels way more sustainable than any of the other, like, flash-in-the-pan coaches that we've seen.
Oh, I totally agree. Because you lose your coordinators, and everyone thought that was going to be the undoing, and then they get... their ass kicked in week one, and since then, you could argue they've been the best team in the NFC. Argue. I think the Rams are, but I think you could make an argument.
Yeah, I think I'd lean Rams. I'm also Seahawks curious.
I agree. Big one this weekend, man.
I mean, I am very much Seahawks curious.
Are we about to have the lane to the Giants rumors?
So, I don't know how much this would or wouldn't matter. Do you know who Lane's quarterback coach is? I would not expect you to.
I do.
Not Weiss. Weiss is the OC.
He is
right?
The offensive coordinator.
I do not.
It is Joe Judge.
Huh. Sure is. Seeing that
really?
Sweatshirt.
It is Joe Judge. And apparently, like, they're thick as thieves.
That doesn't shock me.
So I don't know.
He's got a little inside scoop
right.
on what's
so,
going on up there.
Again, I've got my own problems with Joe was running the program. Like, when he ran... when he tried to Jake Fromm out there in a wing T offense, like in the NFL in this century, like I don't think he was undeservedly fired, but I think Joe would also let Lane know this is one of those franchises that gets to skate by because it's just old. It's not actually well run. I don't know, man. That's the other thing. It feels like now we've had so many offensive coordinators that have gotten head jobs. It's like now it just feels like every like hotshot offensive coordinator is just a head coach. And so there's like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know who like the good ones are. I did talk myself into yesterday. Does Flores need a second chance? But then I had to go back and figure, is Flores suing the Giants or was he suing the NFL for when Bill Belichick texted him congrats on the Giants gig and he was meaning to text Dable?
The Giants aren't going to hire Belichick, are they?
I don't think so. Like, how could you do it now?
Focused on Wake Forest this week.
It's a special place to me. But I mean, like, it's not, his reputation hasn't gotten better.
No, it has not.
Although they're not playing that bad.
I kind of like him this week, just saying.
Not playing that bad. All right, speaking of, let's take a look at some of the games this week. We'll talk about it next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. All right, Tim, we got a much bigger menu this week. I don't know if maybe it was just because teams were scheduling buys, but it felt like just in general, the number of games were way fewer last week. We got a much bigger menu. What are you eyeing so far early?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to be on Woo Pig Suey. I'm going to take the points here. They're a 6-point dog at Circa. Always worries me when Circa's the highest number in the market.
Yeah.
Probably a tell. I just, like, there are two spots this week that I'm curious how these teams respond following the loss. LSU off of the Bama loss.
Yep.
And you mentioned it already with Nussmeier, all of this nonsense going on with Brian Kelly and where's my money? And
where's my money, bitch?
I still don't think Arkansas's quit. And if you look at, I think Bill Conley calls it second chance wins.
Yeah.
They should have three more wins.
I think they lead the country.
They do. 2.99 is what he has based off his. They should be a 5-win football team. So now they're not a favorite. They're just an underdog. Sleepy spot, right?
11:45 at Tiger Stadium.
Oh, come on now. This season is over. It's a waste. I mean, how many of those? They might just stay at the tailgate. I mean, they'll still be tailgating, but they're not going to go into the stadium. So I do like Arkansas there. Look, Michigan State is bad. Call it what it is. They're not a good football team. How in the world is Penn State getting back up after that game?
By the way, you can see that game on CBS.
Da 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 ba da da ba. Because I believe the deal is if you're in the Big Ten, I think two of your games have to be on Big Ten Network.
So that's why Iowa USC. Okay.
Is Big Ten Network.
I was like, how did that game get passed over?
I believe that is the case.
By the way, how's that deal working out for CBS?
Iowa Oregon was good.
Yeah.
I think they missed the SEC. I'm just going to go on a limb and say, I think they missed the SEC. Having the best SEC game as opposed to the number two.
Not even number two.
Big Ten.
Like they've had like the number two game, I think, twice.
Yeah, I don't know how that all plays out.
They do a draft, and I think Fox gets like the first three.
Three or four.
Then NBC gets it, then CBS.
Yeah, and NBC went all in. They made a trade to get Oregon. Penn State, look, it worked out well. I mean, that was a good game. They got it before Penn State completely collapsed. But I'm going to take Michigan State plus 7.5. Coming off a bye, look, I get it. They've been a nightmare this year, and maybe they continue to be a nightmare. But that was a game that jumped out to me as well from a betting standpoint. And then, a couple other random ones off, kind of off the beaten path. I mentioned North Carolina. I kind of like North Carolina here against Wake Forest. Wake Forest offensively is not
a disaster.
And look, I had Wake. It was my first play of the week a week ago because they were catching a touchdown against Virginia. Now they're laying almost a touchdown against, I think, a capable North Carolina team. I think this, look, you got a total of 38.5 and spread of 6.
That's going to be a great football game.
CW.
That's going to be one you got to tune into. Boy.
I mean, we could talk Notre Dame Pitt. I know we mentioned it. You mentioned it at the end of the show last week yesterday, and I mentioned it already in the dumpster fire. Is this a tell by Pitt being like, oh man, we know we're going to get our ass kicked, so let's just say we don't care? We're not even trying. Yeah. If Notre Dame plays a clean football game, they're going to blow them out. If they don't play a clean football game.
I think the only thing I would say is, are you still convinced that the secondary for Notre Dame is fixed?
Fair question. Pitt's got some dudes, man. And Heinschel is not bad, the freshman quarterback. I ultimately kind of, it boils down to me to this. That conference is really bad.
Yes, it has been. This was always my problem last year when they got two in.
And I know that Miami beat Notre Dame. I think Miami still is the best team. They just have a guy on the sideline who ruins things for them. And Carson Beck seems to be regressing. But Pitt, I mean, they lost to West Virginia. I know that was a weird game, and it was a long time ago, but, I don't know. I mean, what's their best result right now?
Pitt?
I'd say beating NC State 53-34. I'll give them credit for that. To put up that many points on NC State, put up 500-plus yards. Heinschel's a good quarterback and could end up being
He is also a true freshman.
And CJ Carr is a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, but Carr's God, he has at least been in the fire so far.
He has. I think, look, the last 2 weeks we've had Utah, Cincinnati, double-digit spread. Something seems a little funky here. Utah by 31.
Yeah, no, I am with you entirely.
Texas Tech, BYU. Something's a little funky here. Texas Tech by 22. Notre Dame 11.5. I think it's probably gone a little far. The sharp guys love Notre Dame this year. Every week it's getting bet up. You know, even before the Blake Horvath news of Navy came out, it got a bet up to like 30 against Navy. So I hope I'm talking myself into it, but I mean, Pitt has been a team that sometimes could be a thorn in the side of Notre Dame in recent years. Not the last time they played, but yeah, we'll see.
All right,
go ahead.
Sorry, let's take a break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. According to Dan Wetzel of ESPN, an illegal filing against LSU's Board of Supervisors, Brian Kelly's attorneys say LSU has taken a position that it is, quote, not formally terminated, end quote, Kelly as the Tigers football coach. The school, according to the petition for declaratory judgment, is now seeking to fire Kelly, quote, for cause and potentially avoid paying a full buyout of nearly $54 million. The filing claims that LSU informed Kelly's representatives of this position on Monday. According to a copy of the suit obtained by ESPN, LSU's representatives had a call with Coach Kelly's representatives where LSU took the position that Coach Kelly had not been formally terminated and informed Coach Kelly's representatives for the very first time that LSU believed it had grounds for termination for cause. I feel like that one's going to be a tough one to prove. If he's not fired, then why is he not the coach? And you never announced that he resigned. And don't forget that you also had that big PR statement on Sunday that he was fired, not parting of the ways fired.
So, you got my money? Oh, man. We all going to give you $25 million.
Yeah, nah, you're going to be paying me 54. That's what the contract states. You will be paying me 54. All right, man, have a good rest of your week.
See you, dude.
That is, of course, Tim Murray. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.